My goodness. So good to be here with you guys today. I just can't say enough. Like, literally, England is a dream come true for me. Like, I'm actually going to go home and check it off my dream list. Honestly, this is my first time in England. I'm Carmen, for all of you. I don't know if I said my name before, but I'm Carmen. I'm from Alberta, Canada, originally. Been living in California for the last 3 years. Going to Bethel School there. I'm in my third year. And seriously, it is just a pleasure to be with you guys. England has completely blown my mind, like, since I've been here. Like, the people, for one, you guys' hearts are just so authentic. And I've never seen love. Like, I've seen such authentic love and coming from you guys. And it's completely, like, it brought me to tears one day. I was just wrecked. I was just, like, because I'm seeing how people are actually giving their lives for each other. And they're just like, you know, I'm going to sacrifice and I'm gonna give of myself just because I want to see the kingdom come. And it's amazing me. Like, I've come here to bless you, but you guys have so blessed us. Like, there's just been this amazing, like, this really beautiful exchange. And I've been so blessed to be a part of it. So thank you. Even though, like, I've only been here a day, it's been amazing. It's been really amazing. So I have an incredible two women with me today, this morning. We're part of a bigger team of 35, but we just got the pleasure of, there's six of us in this part of England with us. Well, in here and in Slough. And so there's three in Slough, and then there's me and two other wonderful ladies. So come on. Come on up. And I'll let them introduce themselves. Here you go.
Like Carmen said, it's just such a pleasure to be with you guys. My name is Savannah Davis. I'm originally from Miami, Florida. So the land of sunshine. We brought some with us, if you can't tell. Well, kind of. It wasn't here yesterday, but I was hoping it would be. Anyways, I'm a second year at Bethel and just really excited to be here. Like Carmen said, there's so many things that we've seen on this trip, and it really has been a dream just to be here and come back to some of our roots. Yeah. So.
Hi, my name is Jessie. You'll pick up an English twang to my accent because I've been living in Bristol. I am originally English, so I've been living in Bristol for the last 6 years. I went over to Bethel in September, so I'm a first-year student, nearly finished. It's very exciting. And it's just, oh, my goodness, to see what God is doing in England, which is like home, is just, it's blown my mind, absolutely blown my mind. He's on the move. Yeah, the fire is starting. It's so exciting.
There's a few things that we want to do this morning. We really feel like the Lord has some very specific things that He wants to do this morning. And one of those are going to come through two messages from these amazing girls. Jessie just has this amazing heart for freedom. And I've heard this message, and so I can assure you it is amazing. And then Savannah will be coming with Identity, which is also absolutely incredible. And both of these girls carry these messages extremely well. So just be like, I just want to like prepare your hearts to receive something, because they really want to impart something to you, something that's going to be tangible, something that you can pick up and that you can actually see breakthrough in yourself. So I just want to like whet your appetites. Know that, like, Holy Spirit is on these two, and Holy Spirit is on what they're doing. And He's really wanting to just release hope and release renewed vision and kind of almost, I feel like He's wanting to bring you guys something new of Himself this morning. Like, there is something new and fresh that He's wanting to, it's part of it could be a reminder, and part of it could just be absolutely something new. Of Himself. So I'm going to call Jessie up first, and I'm going to hand it off to her. So enjoy.
Hi. Oh, this is so exciting. Yeah. So as Carmen said, I'm going to speak to you guys a little bit about freedom and my journey and what that's kind of looked like a little bit. Yeah. So I want to start by thinking about Luke 4, verse 18. It's a really, really famous little bit. And it's where Jesus stands up and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me too." And he goes on to list all these things that he's here to do. But one of the things that he says is that he came to bring freedom to the captives. Yeah, he's come to set people free. That was one of the things that he arrived on this earth to do. But for us, we're sat in this beautiful building, like we're in a school. We have freedom to worship. We have freedom to be Christians in this country, and that's such a privilege, and it's one that not a lot of Christians actually share around the world. So, thank you, Jesus. But when we're not in prison, what does it mean for us when it talks about bringing freedom to the captives? And I was thinking about this quite a lot, and I realized it was about freedom from those things that hold us back from everything that he's called us to do and to be. So it's things that sort of trap us, those things that hold us back. So maybe it's a fear of something. Maybe it's a lie that we're believing about ourselves, which stops us fully walking into who we are and what we're called to do and our destiny. It could be other people, pressures from the outside. It could be so many things, just so many things blocking the way. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those things that trap us in. John 10:10 is possibly my favorite verse in the Bible. And it says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus came to bring life and life to the full. So that means that everything that is being stolen from you, everything that is being destroyed, that's not of God. And actually, God wants to bring life and bring it to the full. He wants you to have full freedom in life. He wants you to live well and to live to the full. Yeah, and it's just my favorite verse, because every time I'm struggling with something, I can pretty much link it back to that and go, do you know what? God's for me. He wants me to have life to the full. He doesn't want me to be trapped by things. He doesn't want me to have my dreams destroyed or taken away from me or stolen. That's so not of him. So God is freedom, you know? God brings freedom. And there are so many things, like I said before, that kind of trap us in. So we get these kind of walls that block us in, whether that's maybe it's constantly doing something that you know you don't want to do, and yet you do it anyway. Or, like I said before, a lie that you might believe about yourself that prevents you from walking forward into your destiny. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in a sort of Christian household. I got sort of Christian morals, but my parents aren't walking with the Lord at the moment, so there wasn't a great deal of life on their faith. And as I left for university, I was 18. That summer, my world fell apart. My parents got divorced, and everything kind of crumbled for me. Everything fell apart, and I went to uni with a huge gaping hole in my heart. Just a place of pain. It was a place of loss. It was a place of just lack of love. It was this huge hole that I didn't even realize was there. I just hurt. I hurt in so many different ways. And I was desperate to stuff this hole up with anything that would stop the pain. So as you do at university, you get opened up to all these different options, all these different painkillers, you know? And I used it all. Anything that I could get my hands on to stuff into this hole to try and patch it up, try and make it okay, I grabbed. And what I discovered was the more I put into this hole, it just didn't get any better. I could numb the pain for maybe a weekend, or I could numb the pain for a little bit, or I could cover it up just a bit, maybe with something, but it never really went away. That hole was just so huge. And I began to realize that the more that I shoved things into this hole and used things to cover this hole, the more I helped build the walls around me. So for every night that I went out, I would put bricks into my walls, and I was helping those walls. For every guy that I went and sought comfort in, there was another brick in the wall. you know, and I actually helped pin myself in. But then I met Jesus in my second year of university, and all the stuff that I'd grown up with was just, it became real. I suddenly realized who Jesus was, and I remember sitting on the phone to someone just crying, like, this is Jesus! Like, this is Jesus! He's done it all. This is so exciting. And that started me on an amazing journey of meeting God and getting to know his heart for me. But what I realized was there were so many things that I'd built into this wall that kind of trapped me and stopped me from being fully who I was supposed to be. And for me, it wasn't... Some people, you hear these testimonies and they meet Jesus and everything falls away and they're on fire and like all their addictions break. Everything just breaks. And that's so exciting. I love those testimonies because it gives me such hope. But for me, it wasn't like that. I had to work brick by brick almost to pull these walls down. All the things that I'd put in place, I had to let go of. I had to recognize them, had to be able to see them and recognize them and then pull them down sort of one bit at a time. And recently, since I've been at Bethel, the Lord's been speaking to me about that process and about how we get free from things. And I saw this one night, I wasn't even praying, you know, I was just about to go to bed. Nice evening, just about to go to sleep. And the Lord showed me this picture of, it was like a gate. And I was just becoming aware of the key that we get. You know, we build these prisons for ourselves and there's a door. And there's a key to get out of that door. And I realized that there are keys for everyone. Whatever your prison is, whatever it is, however you've built it, or whether it's been built up for you, whether you've believed lies or whatever, there's a key to get out. You know, there's a door and there is a key. And I realized that that key looks different for every person. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to release keys so that we can step out of our prisons and into complete and whole freedom. Yeah, and so for me I began to pull down these walls. I did quite a few of those different sort of freedom courses, Freedom in Christ, Living Free. I don't know whether you guys have heard of those kind of things, but I began to do those courses and slowly began to pull down these lies. But the issue of purity was just one for me that just would not go away. I knew that, like, what I was doing was wrong. It just racked me with guilt and shame. But it's just something that I couldn't lay down. I knew what I was doing was not okay, but I just couldn't let go of it. And it was that kind of last layer of the prison that I was in almost. And this picture of this door and the key And God showed me that my key for me was about knowing my heart. So where this huge hole had been created for me during my childhood, it was knowing that that was still there and there was a hole, but knowing how to deal with it in a healthy way. So it was all about being able to recognize when this part of my heart hurt and how to get comfort for that in a healthy way. It was learning to recognize, like when you're hungry, you feel hungry and you know you've got to eat. So it was like learning what different emotions were and what they felt like and how I get that met in a really healthy way. And for me, that journey meant uncovering loads of parts of this hole that I'd managed to stuff so well, I didn't even realize it was part of the hole anymore. And that wasn't easy. That was painful, but actually that was the doorway. That was the key, just really exploring that hole and beginning to have it filled with the Lord and beginning to have it stuffed back full of the Lord, of real love, you know, of real love, which just casts out all fear. And it was such a sweet, like, sweet time. And it's just that key. And I really want to encourage you. I want to stand up here and just encourage you and say, there is a key, whatever it is that blocks you in or holds you back or scares you or stops you from walking into your destiny. There's a key. There is a key. And it's about working with the Holy Spirit and going on a journey with him and finding out what it is that's his key for you to get you out of that. But I'm here to promise you there's a key. Yeah. Yeah. Savannah's just going to come up now and talk a little bit.
That's awesome, Jess. How many of you guys know that there's no limitations with God and that He's created us to be a free people full of life and that He doesn't want bondage for us? He wants freedom and He wants us to walk in the knowing who we are. And I feel like that's a key to our freedom, actually. And that's a little bit about what I'm going to talk to you guys about. And just to give you a little bit of backstory on me, I grew up in a Christian family, an amazing family. And you know, my dad was just always like just loving on me and my parents too, both of them telling me who I was. But as I got out to California, I realized that there's so much more of me than I even realized. And the cool thing about the Lord is, yes, He satisfies, but there's also that never in that just hunger in us because there's so much more of the Lord that we can get. But before I go into what I want to talk about, I want to share a little dream that I had during second year. It was probably in the beginning of my term. In the dream, I was in the stadium, and the stadium was just filled with all sorts of people. And in their faces, there was just hunger that I had never seen before. Just this full fire, this hunger, just this never-ending passion and zeal for the Lord. And one by one, their faces began to flash into my mind. And as they look at me, I just saw this just purity that they were running after. And in the dream, I asked the Lord, I said, "What is it, God, that's so different about these people?" And He said that they know who they are as my sons and my daughters, and they know what they're capable of. And the Lord woke me up from that dream, and I remember writing down in my journal this question. I said, "What would our world look like if we as sons and daughters came into the full revelation of who we are in Christ and what we're called to do?" You know, frankly, I feel like the world would look a lot different than it was now if people were fully passionate and knew who they were as a son and daughter of the living King. You see, we're not meant to be slaves, but we're meant to be free. We're meant to bring others into freedom and tell other people who they're meant to be. Turn with me to Galatians 3:26 through 29. As you guys are turning there, I'm just going to give you a little background here. Paul is writing to the church of Galatia in Asia Minor. Sorry, getting a little tongue-tied. And he's addressing legalism in the body of Christ. There's a lot of, especially the stuff with the Pharisees, a lot of people were, you know, limiting the body of Christ at that time. And Paul was rebuking them for their foolish beliefs on the gospel and on the law. So let me read this to you. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I'm going to break this passage down for you all a little bit. The thing that stuck out to me about verse 26 is Jesus says, you guys are all children of God. Now, for some reason, the word children really stuck out to me, and I asked the Lord, why is it that He always compares us to children? Because if you think about it, in their society as well as ours, children are people that are needy and very dependent on us. As adults, they're people that don't really have cares or troubles or worries, and you know, they weren't really looked at in society as people of full value or worth. It was more of the people that were obviously well-educated and older and well-off and could sustain themselves. But the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, "You know what, Savannah? Children are someone who don't need to hear anything else but the voice of their dad. They don't need any other reassurance of who they are. They just trust who their parents say that they are. They don't have to worry about being fed or the troubles and the cares of today, but they live in their own reality and world, and they're actually just very relaxed individuals who are just free. Yeah, they're just free, and they don't even really notice the world around them. They just kind of realize their own internal world. And I just began to think to myself, what would our world look like today if we as kids just only listened to the voice of our Father? And we only set our gaze on who our dad says that we are. Verse 27 says, "For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." What does that mean? We are no longer substance and slaves to our old man. We are free. We're totally free. We're free to be who we are called to be. We were washed completely of our old selves and reborn into His likeness. We've clothed ourselves with Christ, and how is it that we get to a place of really clothing ourselves with the Lord? I believe that that comes out of a place of intimacy with the Father. See, intimacy with the Spirit of God, the beautiful thing about the Lord is that He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge down your door. He's waiting there. He's knocking, and He's waiting for you to invite Him in. But when you ask Him to come, He's going to come in a powerful way, and I can guarantee you that your whole life is going to change. You see, when there's an intimacy with the Spirit of God, we can't help but reflect His likeness. And the beautiful thing about intimacy is that it's a privilege and it's a choice. So, like I said, out of that place of intimacy, we begin to carry His likeness. Now, how many of you all have seen married couples that have been married for 30 plus years? Or are a married couple that has been married for 30 plus years? Come on. Is that all the hands? Surely you guys have all seen somebody. The funny thing about married couples that have been married for a while is that they start to have the same jokes. They start to even look alike. No, well, women, there is hope. You will not look like your husbands, hopefully. No, but they just begin to carry the same attributes. And if you sit in a room with them, sometimes they'll finish each other's sentences. They will laugh at the same jokes. And why is that? It's because they've had a place of intimacy with each other. And hopefully, all of you guys, don't give away your intimacy to everyone. Like I just want to keep on hitting on the point that it's such a privilege and it's a choice. And it's you offer to let someone into that place of you. So like I said, intimacy with the Spirit of God. And out of that place comes walking in His likeness. I just want to share just a little story with you guys about likeness and who you all are meant to be. How many of you girls have little brothers? Anybody? Okay, good. I don't know about you all, but when I was little, I remember this one time. My brother's about 4.5 years younger than me, so I think I was around 6, and he was around 2. And my mom asked me to watch him, so of course, like, I want to have fun. I didn't have any friends with me at that time, and I just got a new Tinkerbell dress. Do you guys know who Tinkerbell is? It's like a little fairy dress. And so I was like, Mom, sure, I'd love to watch him. So I took him into my room, and sneakily I put him in that dress. And not only did I put him in that dress, but I remember going into my mom's bedroom or her bathroom and stealing out her makeup and sneaking across. And I gave Jesse a full-blown makeover. Now, the sad thing about that is he didn't look like a fairy princess. He looked more like the Joker from Batman. But it's okay, because I thought he was beautiful. But the point is, I feel like just how I did that to Jesse, I tried to make Jesse into a little fairy princess and my little girl buddy. But the reality was that he is meant to be a man. And I feel like just in that term, so the devil does the same thing with us. He clothes us in these things, these lies that we take on as our own, when in reality we're meant to be everything but those lies. And out of that place, I feel like sometimes the devil tries to hold us back. And so we get locked up in these cages, kind of like Jess was saying, and we become these people that are just stuck, when in reality, we are meant to be something way more glorious than we allow ourselves to be. Almost fell there. So just a reminder, intimacy with the Spirit of God. Out of that intimacy comes walking in His likeness. And out of walking in His likeness comes walking in our inheritance. Let's turn Romans 8:15 through 17. Just turn there with me real fast. It says, "The Spirit you've received does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Once again, children. "Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in His suffering, that we may also share in His glory." Did you guys get that? His glory. We're meant to share in all of the things that He's promised for us. But why is it that we're not always walking in that? Romans 8:19 says, "For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." See, creation is even crying out for you to realize who you are. And it says in the Bible that if we don't cry out, then the rocks will cry out. I mean, I think God is making a point there. creation is longing for you, to longing for the sons of Adam to come back into the fruition of who they are meant to be. See, the curse is broken. Jesus broke that a long time ago. He broke that. And now with that, we are able to walk back into the promises that the Lord set for us. Every single promise. I don't know what it is that you guys see when you look in the mirror. But I can just tell you that just from looking in this room, I see world leaders. I see people that were meant to bring people out of bondage. I see people that are going to bring inner healing, that are going to start to walk in signs and wonders again. I see people that are going to be a people that walk as Jesus. You see, Jesus said in the Bible that we were called to walk in even greater things than he walked in. And I can tell you that Jesus walked in some pretty amazing things. And so if that's the case, we are called to be a radiant generation. You see, generations in the past have run, but I feel like some of them have dropped the baton a little bit. And the Lord's been speaking to me about this generation that's coming up right now. And I can guarantee that we are going to be a generation that's going to run all the way till the end. That's going to run all the way till the end. And so I just want to encourage you guys, that when you look at yourself, to really ask the Lord, God, what is it that you see in me? Because oftentimes we'll believe these lies or we'll attach these things to ourselves that aren't ours to carry. And it's because we listen to those little voices in our head that are telling us things and we own them. And we say, oh, wow, that must be who I am. Or I messed up at this. Yeah, I must. That's who I am. But the reality is it's not who you are. I want you guys to stand up real fast. I just want to do something with you all. And just get in receive mode right now. I want you guys to really just be attentive to the voice of the Lord as I'm just speaking this over you. I feel like the Lord wants to do something in this room right now and in this place today. Close your eyes and I just want you to ask the Lord, God, what is it that you see in me? What is it that you see in me, God? I want you to begin to reveal revelation, Jesus, on who these people are. And if you guys are believing any lies, I just ask that the Lord, the sweet whisper of Jesus that's so running after your heart, would just begin to reveal stuff to you. So God, I just ask for your revelation in this place. I just thank you for these people and that they're meant to carry a flame that is going to be unstoppable. And I just speak to any lies that they're believing, God, and I just ask that you just bring them into the full revelation of who that they're designed to be. That even right now, God, as I'm praying, that you just begin to highlight things in their life where they've believed lies about who they are. I ask, God, that you just begin to reveal truth to them. Even right now, God, I just thank you that they are mighty and a powerful people that are meant to do amazing things. And anything that's trying to limit that, I just break that off right now in the name of Jesus. I just thank you for the fathers and the mothers and the sons and daughters that are in this room that are going to rise up from this place and do even greater things than past generations have done. And I just ask that they just begin to believe that, God. That they begin to believe that, God, and even just the rich heritage of England, that they just be able to step on that and just run way farther, God. I just thank you for the history of this place, God, the history of this land, and I ask that they just begin to carry even greater torches than fathers before have done. Even more, God, I just ask that you just begin to speak to them. I just thank you, God, for your presence in this place, and I just ask that you just begin to move, even right now, God. Even right now, God, that people who have never even felt your presence, Jesus, would just begin to feel something. I just thank you for the wind of your spirit that's blowing in this place, God, and I just ask for even more. You guys were not meant to be held back. You weren't. You were meant to be a free people. And when the Lord looks at you, he looks at you for who you're meant to be and not things that you may have done in the past or not restrictions that you put on yourself, but he sees you for exactly who he's designed you to be. And the beautiful thing about the Lord is that he knew who you were before you even knew who you were. Yeah, so God, we just welcome you here, Jesus. Yeah, we just welcome you here, Jesus.